Black Friday edition of Lions and Ball on WEEI.
Welcome in to this Black Friday edition of the Greg Hill Show. I am John Lyons. Great to be with you this morning. We have Jackson behind the glass. Jackson, how are you this
morning? Good morning. I figured I'd start off fast.
Yeah, I'm ready to go now. Yeah. See, you know what it is? Black Friday, they gave us an extra hour, right? We don't go 6 to 10. We're 7 to 11 this morning. We are going to be joined by Bridget Prue at 10:20. But of course, the most important thing today, and Jackson, you know this, we've got a new guy with us, Dan Ball. You may have heard Dan Ball. He started earlier this week with Arcand and Hart in the afternoon show. Dan, I met you earlier this week. This is our first time actually working together. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, John. Good morning. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And there's no better way to start things off on air than with you here in for this great show. So I'm pumped up.
And as I mentioned, we have Bridget Prue coming in today. We have a lot to get to. We are going to do the leads. We're going to do They Said It, as the Greg Hill Show typically does. But we have a lot of Patriots Colts to get to. Red Sox and Juan Soto reports, rumors, kind of however you want to phrase it. We got that to get to. Celtics are finally playing again tonight after 3 days off in an NBA Cup game, if you care about that. So feel free to join us, 617-779-7937. Say hello to Dan, or just talk anything Boston sports you want. Of course, we have the text line available as well. But before we go any further here, Dan, we have made it 2 minutes into the show. You're still here. That's a good thing, right?
That's right. Haven't fired me yet, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's the way I look at it, and I've said this to pretty much everyone that works here, is every time I do a radio shift here and Ken Laird doesn't come in and tell me to leave, that's a positive.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, so if you have that. So, Dan, why don't we spend a minute or two here for folks not familiar with you who maybe haven't heard you yet in the afternoon. I know you've only been here a few days. Give us a little bit on your background, how you made it here.
Yeah, first of all, God bless Ken Laird for saying, hey, day number five, you're jumping in with John Lyons for the Greg Hill Show. Right. But hey, he's not here, so he can't change it now.
That's true. Too late now.
Absolutely, yeah. So for me, I grew up in the northern part of Connecticut. So to anybody who's listening on the 105.5 affiliate, that was the number one preset on my dial growing up. But I went to school down in Quinnipiac. I know you have a mutual friend who spent some time as a Bobcat.
Yep, that is true. And it's funny, the Quinnipiac just has a way of finding people in big spots in the broadcast industry, it feels like.
The journalism program.
We got a few Quinnipiac grads here at EEI.
Yeah, I think actually Brian, who I work with in the afternoon show well, who's doing some producing, is from there. But regardless, went there, graduated during COVID, which was a ton of fun. Yeah. So after a glorious 6 month stint being a long term English substitute teacher, which was its own disaster, ended up out in Albany, New York, started on their afternoon show there in April of 2021, and after a few years out in the capital region, here we are out in Boston. So
Quinnipiac.
The pronunciation of that school has been an ever-going controversy.
Well, okay, so we have an alum here.
Yes.
So just could you clarify, as an alum?
Yeah, Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
So who said it right, Shime?
Quinnipiac.
Or Courtney?
Quinnipiac.
Well, Courtney was very wrong.
Yeah, maybe just take their two things and put them together.
Yeah.
And maybe you would have it close to
Shime,
right.
Shime was on the right track. It's and that's the one that I hear more than the correct pronunciation, is the extra E, the Quinnipiac. Like, you hear that all the time.
Sneaky good hockey school, too, by the way.
Yeah, national champion a couple
years
ago.
I know that's why people tuned in this morning, Quinnipiac Hockey Talk.
Absolutely,
that's why they tuned. Forget about Patriots, Colts, Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, any of that.
Yeah.
That's why people tuned in today. But, this is my second year doing the Black Friday show. This is one of my favorite shows of the year to do because, of course, Thanksgiving is the best holiday.
Of course.
As we know. But I always enjoy doing this show because it's kind of a mix of it's a holiday time of year, but it's crunch time in the NFL season. Of course, not for the Patriots this year. NBA, NHL are really ramping up. Of course, that NHL Thanksgiving playoff date, I feel like every single year we hear, if you're in the playoffs at Thanksgiving, you'll probably make it. If not, you won't. And then MLB Hot Stove is like, it was around this time last year. I think it was a week or two after Thanksgiving last year. Otani signed with the Dodgers, and then you had all the dominoes fall after that. So I always enjoy this Black Friday show. We are going to get to today, folks, for those of you listening, high school football scores in New England. I was on yesterday morning with KJ Carson. We did read a bunch. If you have any high school football scores that you want read, any highlights you want read on the air, I'm going to do them later in this segment, and I'll do it once more later in the show as well. So you can tweet them at me, at the real John Lyons, J-O-N-L-Y-O-N-S. You can text them in to our text line as well, 67937. Hopefully I got that right, Jackson.
37937, that would be.
What's the text line?
37937.
You can text them in 37937.
So it's usually, early.
Yeah, usually I don't say the text line number because everybody knows it already. And the one time I try to be polite, that's what happens.
That's okay. It happens. It's early, and you know, it can only get out and get better from here, right?
Yes. True. Thank you. That's Jackson's subtle way of saying we've started below the Greg Hill standard.
Right. Yeah. And on Tuesday, I filled in for Scheim on the Greg Hill show, and I took the the plane took off, but it was a rough takeoff. But I landed
turbulence.
Okay. So it always starts off a little bit rough the first time out.
Little turbulence. Yeah. So
one more time for the text line.
37937.
Hey, there we go. Come on now.
Ding, ding, ding.
We're growing. We're growing.
So any
together.
High school football scores you want read, send them to us. You can also send them to Dan as well on Twitter at Dan Ball. That is B-A-H-L Ball. Dan Ball. Send it to him. So, Dan, Thanksgiving's yesterday.
Yes.
And, well, first of all, I know you've been kind of, you're in this transition period coming here.
Right.
You're finishing up your job in New York. So did you have a big family Thanksgiving? No?
Luckily, yes. Yeah, we were the lucky hosts, the Ball family, for Thanksgiving yesterday. So God bless my mom. She was up at O Dark 30 getting everything ready. I tried my hardest to make myself useful and at least contribute where I can, but I'm going to screw up a turkey. I'm going to screw up the sides.
Yeah.
So I took the easier route, which was, hey, I'll help you clean up afterwards.
Okay.
You can get things done, then I'll be the one at the sink making sure that everything's clean. But, I tell you what, the conversation after starting here at the beginning of the week was a little bit different this Thanksgiving versus past. So I was proud of myself to be the reason why we largely avoided politics and religion and, you know, all the other fun things that you get at the Thanksgiving
table. Yeah, we had a nice election discussion right after we finished eating. It was kind of funny, though, because when you heard a couple of my family members talk, if you were just observing our table, you wouldn't realize that I'm the one that gets paid to talk on the radio. You know, because I just it's getting talked over and all this and that. So it ended okay, though, Dan. There was no rolls flying anywhere, no food thrown.
Yep.
Yeah, so it did end okay. And it's funny, man, Thanksgiving. I don't know. Do you have an ideal Thanksgiving plate?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, and I'm glad you brought up that Thanksgiving is the best holiday of the year. I notice in every single store that's probably getting bombarded here on a Black Friday, Thanksgiving is an afterthought. It goes right from Halloween, which those decorations come out absurdly early. You're talking August when you start to see the
Sam
first.
Sam Adams puts Oktoberfest out August 1st.
Right, which is, that's also fine.
Yeah.
But it goes right from Halloween right into Christmas. There is no recognition of Thanksgiving. But I feel like for a sports fan and for a football fan, John, Thanksgiving is irreplaceable. Family, food, football, and maybe one of the best naps of the year that you can take.
One of the best. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's funny. KJ and I had this discussion earlier this week. We actually had it with Zach Coe Wednesday night, and he accused me of having the most bland Thanksgiving plate.
Really?
Because, see, I go turkey, mashed potato, stuffing, corn, a roll with gravy, and that's it.
How is that possibly bland? I would call that classic.
You know what? It was classic.
Yeah.
And I actually, yesterday, just in honor of KJ, I threw a few green beans on the plate, and I ate them. And when I literally mean a few. Like, there might have been maybe four green beans on the plate. I threw them on there.
Did you send a photo to confirm, hey, listen, I'm mixing in my greens today just for you?
I think I'm going to keep that in my back pocket because we're going to be on air Tuesday night.
Oh,
so when he asked me, I said, you know what? I actually had four things that were a different color on my plate, right? Four things that were green. So, yeah, it is. I think it's an awesome holiday. And Black Friday, of course, it's – I've always – see, are you a Black Friday shopping guy?
I'm not.
Okay.
And I feel like I've seen in recent, I heard them talking about this on Jones and Keefe before we started on Wednesday, I should say, where I feel like the mobs that you used to see in past years with the, you know, with
haven't
the growth of Amazon.
Haven't seen a good trampling since the 2010s.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, you don't see an ambulance. The hospital isn't getting visitors left, right, and center. I mean, that's a good thing, but I feel like maybe it's lost some luster. I would love to hear that on the text line. Like, is anybody out there physically waiting in line, online, however you describe it, on a Black Friday? Because I feel like you don't see it as much
anymore. And it's funny you bring that up because for years, and my wife and I have pretty much gone out Black Friday show. I think every year since 2015, except 2020, we've gone Black Friday. So, you know, 9 of the last 10 years, whatever it is.
Now, how early are you starting?
Well, so this is what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
So we had a system for years.
Okay.
And this lasted all the way through, I think, until last year, actually, where we would go to the Rentham outlets at about 6 to 7 a.m. And the reason we would go then is the midnight crowd had all gone home at that point, and the daytime crowd wasn't there yet. So we had this little sweet spot in the middle, 6, 7 a.m. We'd get a parking spot, no problem.
Yeah.
The lines in the stores weren't long. Like, there would be years where we would get there at 7. We would be out of the outlets and on our way home by 8.
Really?
With everything we needed. All the Christmas gifts bought, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
Things for ourselves, everything, right? So we're not even there an hour.
Wow.
Last year, and I think this goes to what you're saying,
yeah,
it's lost its shine a little. Rentham outlets, they don't open till 6 now.
Really?
So last year I did the Black Friday show with Shine, which was 6 to 9 a.m. And so I got home, you know, around 10 or so. We go there and we're stuck in all the traffic.
Oh, of course.
All the lot. Like, I went in the Nike store. The line is an hour and a half long. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not buying. I literally.
Those deals are not worth it.
We waited in line to get in the store.
Yeah.
Which was a mistake, obviously, in hindsight. But we get in and I'm like, oh, wait, is that the end of the line? Oh, man, it's an hour and a holy smokes. I just turned around and walked out. So. It's funny because we've always been Black Friday people. We just enjoy it. But with that change in hours last year,
yeah,
it really threw our whole game off. I don't even know if I'm going to go out and Black Friday shop this year.
Well, now we're done. What? We're done at 11 today.
Yep.
So at that point, you kind of have to imagine that the good deals, your bulk that you're going for, that might be gone by the time, yeah, you get out today.
And what I did notice, though, one time, is, so this is going back, it's like 8 or 9 years ago. We went out shopping Black Friday, and I bought a pair of shoes, and I mistakenly bought the wrong size. So the Monday after Black Friday, I went back and just exchanged the shoes. Every single deal in the entire outlet complex, except two, was exactly the same. And of course, on the following Monday, there's nobody there.
Right.
I'm like, wow, maybe I should have just, you know, waited a few days. So that's why I'm sitting there today. I'm like, all right, maybe we'll break our tradition of not Black Friday shopping, but we can maybe go next weekend. All the deals will be pretty much the same anyway.
You might have discovered the key to the castle here.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was so again, I'm bringing this pair of shoes back. I just, you know, I want to like get me out of here. You know,
right.
I already feel like an idiot because I have to bring them back 3 days after buying them. And like I said, I'm like, wow, that deal's the same, that deal's the same, that deal's the same. I'm like, okay, so there's, I think it was literally one deal at a Nike store and one other deal that expired on Black Friday, and every other deal was there.
Huh.
Yeah, it was.
You were playing chess while everybody else was playing chess. By accident,
without,
you were
doing it. Without trying. Yeah. It was accidental chess, if that's a thing.
You know. Discovered a cheat code, a workaround, something that the world needs to know, but you also kind of need to keep from the rest of the world.
Yeah, so if anyone from my job is listening, you know, if I call in sick in the middle of next week, it's not for that. I'm really sick, you know, of course.
Yeah, John's having a Black Wednesday next week or something like that.
Jackson is a secret, like, Black Friday assassin. Like, he finds a way to get to a store, get the last TV available, get to the front of the line without anyone noticing him, and he's in and out.
He's already been there today.
He can be in and out of Best Buy in 15 minutes on Black Friday.
Only if necessary. I try not to venture out on Black Friday because, one, I feel like some of the deals are predatory because you don't, it's... I don't think the Black Friday deals are as exclusive as they used to be on Friday.
I agree with that. Really, they're definitely not as exclusive as they used to be.
And then the other thing is, I'm a procrastinator, if you will, so I'm not going to buy a Christmas gift until probably December 20th.
Okay. All right. Well, they'll still be in stock then, I suppose.
I'm glad it's not December 24th.
Yeah.
That means you're at least giving it a couple days.
You know, I've matured over the years.
You got to give it enough time for the Amazon 2-day shipping.
Yeah,
at very least, to get it there.
What's
Christmas
that
Eve.
Commercial? You're not an amateur procrastinator, you're a procrastinator.
Yes,
you're
exactly.
December 20th. See, because that's December 24th is too late at that point. Then you're rushing. So you do it just late enough where it's late, but you're not rushing and you get what you need. So.
And I'm not really an Amazon guy either. I like tactileness. I need to see stuff in person.
Yeah.
It's a lost art.
Yeah, I know. I
appreciate that you're like that, but you're seeing less and less of
that. That's actually one of the reasons my wife and I used to always go Black Friday shopping, because we'd actually go to stores in person. Because, you know, you do so much shopping online, we'd actually be there in person. So
I've never bought an article of clothing or shoes online because I have to try it on first.
I have, but it's like if I buy a pair of sneakers and then a few years later I want to buy the exact same pair, like again, so I already know how they fit.
Yeah, that's,
then I'll buy those online. Fine. T-shirts and stuff I might buy online, but any nice clothes I have to go in the store for.
Yeah. It's too much of a gamble if you don't do the first time you're buying an article of clothing or from a brand for the first time.
I don't know if there's anything worse connected to shopping than having to return something you bought online. like having to ship it back, hope it gets there, then hope you get reshipped the correct item after that or refund it. Like, I'd much rather go to a store and return something than try to return something that I bought online and ship back.
Oh, to try to repackage, you got to get a label. Yeah. You got to find the right place to go and probably pay a little bit for it. Disaster.
Yeah.
I got a funny return story.
Really?
We bought a mattress a few years back. Ended up, we did not like it. So
didn't know you could return those.
So, yeah, apparently you can. And
where'd you buy this?
Online. It was one of the, I think it was called a Nectar. I'm not sure.
Like, you know, abandonedmattresses.com?
No, it was like one of those, like, you know, mattresses
and dumpster behind my apartment.com.
I didn't know.
So we return it. And instead of, you know, shipping it back or them picking it up or whatever, they give you a form that you have to fill out. You can either give the mattress away to somebody and have them sign for it, or you can take a picture of it out on your sidewalk when you throw it away. But you still get your money back. It's the most bizarre business model I've ever seen.
So they don't actually really want to take the mattress back?
They don't take the mattress back. Okay. They say, give it to a friend or put it on the sidewalk and give us proof. I'm using bunny ears there. So it's like...
Jackson, Dan, right? He's moving into a new place now that he works for EEI. So you should just give him a mattress and you know, get a refund and get yourself one. There we go. I think there you go, Dan. Welcome to EEI. Here's Jackson's old mattress.
Wow. I feel so at home.
What a welcoming gift. I got a backpack when I got hired. This guy gets Jackson's old mattress.
Can I talk to you about your sidewalk mattress for a moment?
Yeah, we'll talk later.
Hopefully you didn't put it out yesterday. It'd be a little wet. But one other great thing, Dan, and by the way, pretty good first segment so far, Dan.
Hey, thank you very much.
Ken has not stormed in here and told us to leave. So.
No, he might be getting in his car right now, but we have at least 20 minutes.
That's all right. We have a while, though. He's in Pittsburgh.
Okay, so that's all. You know what? He won't be here till the end of the show. Yeah, we'll lock the doors.
I was going to say, I've heard it's EEI tradition to lock the door when you don't want the boss to come in, so.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that tradition. Jackson, you can fill me in.
There's some past lore here. People have done that here.
A really cool thing that we haven't even touched on yet about Thanksgiving, and I really just, the New England high school football, especially Massachusetts high school football, as I mentioned, if you want any scores or highlights read, you can tweet them at me, tweet them at Dan, text them in the text line, which is 37937, as Jackson informed me. That is the text line number. Of course, if you want to call in and give a shout-out, feel free. But I do have a few here before Dan does trending that I want to read. We did have one texter from the 860, coaches at New London High School in Connecticut. Their running back, Demetrius Fletcher, 8 touchdowns in this game in a 52-21 win. That's more than the Patriots have running the ball all year. So good for you, Demetrius Fletcher. 52-21 win, 8 rushing touchdowns. New London, Connecticut gets their Thanksgiving win. A couple other ones that I thought were really entertaining from the last few days. This is Wednesday night. Milford 42, Taunton 41. Jack Buckley, 4 touchdown passes in that game. Bishop Feehan 27-7 over Bishop Stang. Blackstone Valley 35-31 over Nipmuc. Marblehead 42-6 over Swampscott. I only bring that game up because I know it was a blowout. They played at Fenway Park. Pretty cool for both teams. I think that's awesome.
They had 4 great games there over the 2 days.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool thing that Fenway does.
Completely agree.
Yeah, Abington 18-6 over Whitman Hansen. Shout out to Abington's Michael Riley. He threw his 32nd touchdown pass of his career. That is a new Abington High School record for passing touchdowns in a career. So good for him.
Come on now.
Yeah, for sure. Aponequit 26, Old Rochester 14. Brody Jolie, 299 yards rushing in this one. Man. Pretty good day for Mr. Jolie. Plymouth South beat Plymouth North 19-7. Last one, Dartmouth 21, Fairhaven 16. The game-winning touchdown was a Jackson Hart game-winning touchdown run. You may recognize that name if you listen to WEEI. If you have any more scores that you want read on the air, text them in, tweet us. If you want to call in and give it a shout-out, feel free, 617-779-7937. We have a lot to get to in today's show. Dan Ball's first time filling in on the morning show with me. I'm John Lyons. But before we go any further, it's time to trend with Dan Ball.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up in what is trending now on WEEI, and it's sponsored by 99 Restaurants and Pubs. The Patriots get set to host the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Gillette Stadium. New England is currently 2.5-point underdogs. 13 players were listed as limited participants at practice on Thursday, including wide receiver Demario Douglas and safety Kyle Duggar. Indianapolis had 4 players that did not practice, including 2 notable wide receivers. That's Alec Pierce and Josh Downs. 14 games on the NHL slate today, one of which features the Bruins hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins. Puck drop is set for 6:30 tonight at TD Garden. The game will air nationally on TNT and Max. Boston most recently beat the New York Islanders 6-3. The six goals tied a season high for the Bees offense. They hadn't reached that total since October 10th against Montreal. Meanwhile, the Celtics play their final game in group play of the NBA Cup tonight when they take on the Chicago Bulls. Tip-off is set for 8 o'clock tonight at the United Center. A victory over Chicago for the Celtics plus a Cleveland victory over Atlanta would give the Celtics the Group C championship. Boston owns the tiebreaker against Cleveland. And finally, week 13 in the NFL continues with a Black Friday showdown as the 10-1 Chiefs take on the 2-9 Raiders. Coverage of that game begins right here on WEEI at 2:30. Kids eat free at the 99 restaurants Black Friday weekend. Hey, that's right now. Visit the 99 for lunch or dinner, and kids get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree purchased. You gotta love the nines. I'm Dan Ball on Boston Sports Original WEEI. More coming up after this.
Back here on WEEI, filling in for the Greg Hill Show, I'm John Lyons. In the debut fill-in show of Dan Ball, you may have heard him with Arcandon Hart in the afternoon earlier this week. He started this week, but debut fill-in. And you know Jackson's behind the glass because there's just screaming metal songs that I have no idea what they are.
Well, that was Megadeth, and the song's called Black Friday, so I figure it was
there you go. All right. Yes.
Who needs a cup of coffee when you got Megadeth in the
morning? Sure, when people tune into Lions and Ball, they think Megadeth. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what they're thinking of. Yeah. No,
especially if they see the two of us.
That's true. Yeah.
Those are heavy metal guys. Well,
exactly.
Right there.
Yeah. All right. Black Friday, though. I'll give you that.
Don't worry. I'll shake it up a bit. You'll hear some different kind of stuff over the course of the show.
You do you. That,
just glad I'm not hearing Christmas songs yet.
Yeah, that's true.
No, not yet.
Yeah. KJ was playing some yesterday during our show, and I was like, oh, man. Yeah, we'll, I don't know. A little early.
Pump the brakes just a little bit on that.
So we obviously have a lot to get to in a few minutes. We are going to get to the leads this morning. We have They Said It at 8 o'clock. Patriots to get to, Celtics to get to, Bruins to get to, of course, Red Sox and Juan Soto to get to. We have been mixing in some high school football scores. We're going to read some later on in the program. Make sure you're sending those in. We've had some texted in already. You can tweet them at us. We are going to go to now Dave in the truck. Dave, welcome in this morning. How are you?
John, good morning. Good morning, morning show. And I want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a good time with your family.
Thanks, Dave. What do you got for us this morning?
So you were talking about high school football teams, and I want to give a shout-out to my nephew, who's senior year at Hudson High, and they beat Marlboro 31-14 for their Thanksgiving game. But more important is they went undefeated all through the whole season, and they're now playing Fairhaven on Wednesday night at Gillette Stadium for the Super Bowl. And I want to give Garrett Giorgio a shout-out. He's a linebacker and tight end for the Hudson High School Hawks.
That's awesome. Huge shout-out to them, Dave. Thanks for the call. And I was saying that yesterday. It's kind of fun. So I know, obviously, you lived in New York for a couple of years.
Right.
You grew up in Connecticut. Massachusetts changed their high school football playoff format a few years ago. I personally hate the change.
Okay.
Because now you know you're in the Super Bowl before the Thanksgiving game, so teams a lot of times will rest starters on the Thanksgiving game. It used to be you'd play Thanksgiving, play your playoff game the next week, and then play, you know, the Super Bowl after that.
Yeah, that seems to be the logical progression.
The idea was that if you do it earlier, more teams can make the playoffs because you do them over like a three-week span.
Okay.
So whatever. The reason I bring that up is because Dave mentioned on the phone that his nephew's team finished off an undefeated season. So it sounds like maybe they chose to play their starters in Thanksgiving to finish that off. So just, I don't know, a little weird quirk of Massachusetts high school sports, I guess. But
that's a confusing one. But I'm glad to hear that teams are still choosing to play, especially. And I wonder if it goes into the hands of the players in any situations where, hey, if you guys are seniors, this is your last Thanksgiving week that you're playing. Maybe they want to go all out for their seniors, something like that. I would hope if for nothing else, it's for that kind of reason.
Yeah. So like I said, that stood out. I was like, oh, okay, they finished off an undefeated season, so they must have played their guys. And good luck to them in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And as I mentioned, any other scores or shutouts you want, feel free to call in. You want to call in about anything, of course, you always can. 617-779-7937. But it is 7:30, so it is now time for the leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
And Jackson, Why don't you go first with your lead today?
Okay, well, I'm going to stick with the my metal theme of the morning just because this came up in the news and I thought it was ridiculous. Jimmy Kimmel had a band called Not Loose on his show on November 27th.
Could just call themselves Tight, but fine. Not Loose, yeah.
They're a very, very heavy metal band. Like, not the kind of stuff that you bring home to grandma, but...
But the stuff you play at 7 a.m. on Lions and Ball.
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. We can even hear a little bit of the song. It's kind of it's ridiculously over-the-top heavy, but this is not the first time like a band like this has been played on late night. Like, Conan O'Brien famously used to have Slipknot on all the time, and Slipknot played on Letterman as well. But there's an uproar on Facebook, nonetheless, with fans that are getting upset at Jimmy Kimmel for having this band on. And I'm not going to, kill everybody's ears today. I'm just going to give you a little five-second little clip of it. But it's kind of ridiculous. But still, it really irks me that people are complaining about it.
So that was on Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, I would not expect that on Jimmy Kimmel late night.
But if you see the stage and the crowd set up, they're outside in an outside venue, and there's a big mosh pit, and it's like it reminds me of like the old school, like like mid '90s, late '90s metal. And there's people carrying about it, and I am here to say that I don't like that. I'm open to all music on all shows anytime.
And it's like, if he had metal on all the time, then all right, maybe no. But like once, whatever, man.
Yeah, it's
one time.
And somebody put it perfectly on, somebody who was for the band being on. Some little kid is going to be up late watching this show and past his bedtime and see this and be like, whoa, I want to start a band like that. That's cool. That's what happened with me when I, found out Metallica. That's what made me want to start my band.
I mean, like I said, one time, like, I'm not a metal guy, so if I was watching that show, I wouldn't want it all the time. But, like, one time?
Yeah, it's not going to hurt your children, folks.
Well, they shouldn't be up that late anyway.
That's a fair point. Now, as much as I don't care, play whatever you want to play, what's hot, who has a new album out. I'm sure that was probably the thought behind it. That's airing probably towards the end of Kimmel's show, right?
Around midnight, maybe midnight.
Midnight, 12:15 kind of thing. I'm not sure personally that's what I would want
to
hear at 12:15
as
I'm about like, oh, all right, what a great day of work coming in tomorrow.
Just
and
hear
then
Jackson screaming.
Yeah, right.
No, and from now on, when I hear metal, I'm just assuming it's Jackson screaming.
It's not for everybody, but it's also not for people to
it's not for nobody
about.
You know what, so to Dan's point, if they did that consistently, like, I wouldn't like it, but once, like, who cares, man?
I'm impressed that they went with it, though. They're I think, to the point that you're also dancing around here, it's very rare to hear that genre in any kind of late night setting.
That's why a lot of
Fallon, Kimmel, anywhere.
Yeah, a lot of people in the metal community are pretty excited about it, just because it's such an extreme band on a national stage. So let's go. Heavy metal rules.
All right.
Okay.
Jackson, thank you very much. We're going to save Dan's lead for last because I think Dan has a really interesting lead I want to talk more about. For me, had a couple options. One of them we're going to use, and they said it later on, so I won't use that. But if you don't know, Sunday, December 1st, is the Bruins Centennial Game.
Okay.
The 100th anniversary of their first game. There's going to be a big celebration. 4:15 p.m. puck drop. 2:45 the ceremony starts. So nice, long ceremony there. And it just kind of had me thinking of, over the course of 100 years, it's a historic franchise and where they're at kind of now. And we're getting into this a little bit later with Bridget Prue, but this is a team that over their last decade or so, the last 10%, if you will, of their existence, it's been a lot of underachievement, a lot of disappointment, a lot of frustration. They've been to, I know it's a little over 10 years, but they went to that cup in 2013. Of course, they went in 19, had the all-time season in 23, no championships there in that run. So I'm hoping that maybe Centennial, new coach, they can turn the page a little bit, because this is a roster that, it should be better than it is. I mean, they invested so much in this roster. It should be better. We've talked about it ad nauseum already. We're going to talk about it later as well. But just got me thinking, again, Bruins Centennial game on Sunday, and I do think it's going to be a really cool event. A lot of alumni coming back. So if you get the chance to get tickets, I know there's a Patriots game on Sunday afternoon too, but if you get the chance to go to this Bruins game, I would say go to it. If you get the chance to watch it, because it's going to be, again, a lot of alumni there, a lot of historic moments revisited. So a really cool thing for the Bruins, and I'm hoping maybe it can be a little bit of a turning the page moment. We'll see if they can kind of build off it, grow from it a little bit, whatever you want to call it?
It can't be a bad thing to have that kind of energy back in the building. And you got to imagine, at least in the back of Joe Sacco's mind and Don Sweeney's mind, he's walking up to, you'd imagine Patrice Bergeron will be there, probably have Krejci there as well. Maybe Chara, you know, ducks under a couple of doorways and gets himself in there.
They're going to be like, please come back.
Hey, do you guys have anything left in the tank here?
Bergeron, please.
We could really use a penalty killer or something like that. But it's an interesting point you bring up, that this season, more than past seasons, is one where fans, I'm sure, will really like a break from the current state of the Bruins and a look back at the past state of the Bruins, because they just don't have that hard-nosed grit compete level that you heard Andy Brickley say every single broadcast when Jack Edwards was still there. I just don't think this group quite has it. So a chance to look back at players from past eras when you knew, talent level be damned, they're going to work hard and they're going to outwork the team on the ice. I'm sure a lot of fans will soak up every single minute of that centennial celebration that they have.
Now, yesterday may have been Thanksgiving, but there was a kind of big-ish Boston sports story, hanging out there, not hanging out there. And I bring that up because, Dan, I want to hear what your lead is, and I want to talk more about it once you get it out there.
So this was a string of tweets that was percolating yesterday. And now, yes, I felt bad that I was scrolling through Twitter and trying to find updates while, you know, the entire family was over for Thanksgiving. But I know that everybody out there was in that same situation yesterday, so I don't feel as bad. But this all started with a tweet, John, 21 hours ago now, from a Twitter account @AVG Average Mick. Breaking news: the Boston Red Sox have signed free agent outfielder Juan Soto. The terms of the deals are still unknown, but I'm hearing it's 12 years and no deferred money. Expect an official announcement to come within the next few days. Then Jeff Passan,
sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
That Twitter account is the same one that also had early news of Jim Montgomery firing as well.
That's what I was seeing. That there
correction.
Was, yeah.
Scoops Keefe had the news first. This guy had it second.
He had it early. So maybe Scoops Keefe was first, but he was there early. First, second, he was there early. So point being is, the last time he reported something along with Scoops Keefe, it ended up being correct. So I think that's what really perked up a lot of people's ears.
That was a lot of the responses that I was seeing and the quote tweets that I was seeing yesterday was, well, this seems a little off base, but this person has been right in the recent past. So that's why, to your point, that's why it seemed like people's ears were perking up. Jeff Passan responds not to the tweet itself, because everybody at that point is waiting to see Passan. If you get him, even more than John Heyman,
I believe
more than Passan, Rosenthal,
more than Soto.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. If Passan isn't in the room, I don't know. But he said, I am thankful for reporters who don't make up stories. I am also thankful that Juan Soto has not agreed to any contract, which means you can get off Twitter and go spend the holiday with your family. Happy Thanksgiving. That was then quote tweeted by Glenil Garcia, who covers baseball in some capacity, saying Soto hasn't finalized, but is nearing, he changed the number, a 13-year deal with the Red Sox. This continued to percolate all afternoon. There were sources of varying degrees of credibility that were chiming in, including Hector Gomez, who said 13 years, 625, and at Mike Deportes, who said this: I just finished a call, and sources from Boston informed me that the player, Soto, spoke for over an hour with Rafael Devers about the team. There is a 12-year offer for around $50 million per season, and Juan Soto is interested in the idea of going to the Red Sox. Currently, the Red Sox are a strong contender for the outfielder. So I ask you, with all that context in mind, when I say no Jeff Passan, but I say multiple different quote-unquote reporters of varying levels of credibility, how much credence do you give this stuff?
So it's not Passan, right?
It's not.
As we know, it's not Passan. But
wasn't even close
to
Passan.
It's not Buster Olney.
Right.
It's not Ken Rosenthal. I know. But you have some folks that have been right about some of these things. You have kind of multiple people in the same ballpark, maybe not the exact same report, but again, 12 years, you know, 50 million. Oh, no, it's 13 years, but they're kind of, he talked to Devers. There's people, again, in the same ballpark reporting here. I'm not going to go as far to say I feel like it's a done deal. And this is a larger discussion, which I think we can get to next segment as well.
Okay.
with the Red Sox and the way they've operated the past 5 years, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. Like, mm-hmm. I want to believe this. Like, I see that the 12-year deal, or he's agreed, or 13-year deal, or he talked to Devers, and I want to believe it. I really do. But it's just the way they've operated the past few years. I'm still expecting later this morning or 2 weeks from now or Christmas Day, Jeff Passan to tweet that Soto's going to the Mets.
Like, yeah.
I'm just – because this would be such a departure from what the Red Sox have done. Because I was going back and thinking they signed Rafael Devers to that massive deal, $331 million. And that was, though, on the heels of them trading Betts and letting Bogarts go. So they were – under a lot of pressure from the fan base to at least sign one of those guys.
And I don't know if you remember this, but that winter, they had their winter weekend annual thing in Springfield, and they got booed mercilessly. So they more or less got bullied into signing
and
that
also,
Devers extension.
Devers was 25 at the time. Like, he was in that unique spot where it's like he is young, he is in his prime, he'll get his whole prime in that deal. But I bring that up to say he was a guy from within the organization. And if I'm wrong, text or call in and let me know. But from my research, the last time they signed anyone outside the organization to a $200 million contract to board was David Price. And that's 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And hey, it worked out. You won a World Series. He was good. But I mean, so it's been 8 years since they've invested that amount of money in someone outside the organization. And we've seen them, you know, trading bets, letting Bogarts go, letting Schwarber walk, Evaldi, all this. We don't need to relitigate all that. But my point is, for them to go 12 years, $600 million for Soto would be such a departure from the way they've done business for the past 5 years, especially when it comes to external free agents. I would be shocked. I'd be pleasantly shocked, but I want to believe it, but I have to see it to believe it because it's been such a departure.
You're completely justified in feeling that way. I don't know if we have a break that we need to take and we can continue this, but there is a lot more meat on this bone in terms of why there just isn't trust there. Justifiably so, there isn't trust with the ownership to do the thing that every single fan wants them to do.
And you could make the case, and we'll talk about this coming up next, that if they do get Soto, it'd be the biggest move since Thanksgiving weekend 2004 mm-hmm. when they traded for Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest move for the franchise overall since then, considering what he would bring to the table. But I'm going to jump into that because there is a lot to get to on that. Juan Soto, some reports out there close to signing with the Red Sox. Other reports out there, not so much. So we're gonna dive into this. Your thoughts, text line, call in. We'd love to hear from you on this Black Friday coming up next.
You're listening to Lions and Ball on WEEI.
Back here on Lions and Ball, a.k.a. the Greg Hill Show on a Black Friday. If you're a fan of all the loud music coming in from every break, that's shout out to Jackson, our producer.
Shout out.
Yeah, that's it. Just shout out. Yeah, that's it. But
quick shout out.
Dan, you had a lead that I want to continue talking about here, and that's these rumors, reports, Juan Soto, you know, hey, is he close to the Red Sox? Is he not? Right. Okay. So we don't know how close or not close he actually is. I think the larger discussion here is you look at this organization and the way they've operated for 5 years, this would be a pretty big departure from the way they've operated over the last 5 years.
I mean, this is the same organization that for their stretch run when they were trying to scratch and claw into a very weak AL wild card this past year, relied on Rich Hill to eat significant innings and signed him for the 702nd time in his career. And I mean no disrespect. I know he's
like 44 years.
Exactly. Yeah. And hey, he gave them there was I think his first outing was an inning and two-thirds hitless, and he struck out like three guys as a part of it. Turn back the clock for a sec, and I give him credit for that. But that is the kind of move that Red Sox fans have been lulled to sleep with in past years. So it is impossible for me and for you to then turn around and go, you have a generational. There are so many things about Juan Soto that make even a $600 million plus contract worthwhile for any team that signs him. He is an on-base machine like you do not see in baseball. He brings power. He is not necessarily a plus defender, but we've seen plenty of average to below average defenders learn how to play the wall. If you have a good center fielder like Sidon Rafaela or Jaron Duran, you can make up for any whatever shortcomings he has. So he brings enough defense that he's—I mean, he was a Gold Glove finalist this year. So brings enough defense where he's not going to cost you. One of the best hitters of a generation, and he's in that age range that you talk about with Devers that you simply do not see in terms of guys hitting free agency at this kind of skill level. So even if it does feel like an overpay in terms of what most free agents are going for, there are no other Juan Sotos that you can bring in. And we talked about this in the afternoon or earlier this week, and I wanted to bring it up here with you, where I personally believe that there's an ego play here for Juan Soto, where if you talk about the Yankees, you're playing second fiddle to Aaron Judge. Justified? No, but they named him the captain before he deserved it. He signed for all that money. You're the second fiddle there. Same thing with the Dodgers and Ohtani and the stars that they've built in. And I would argue the same thing with the Mets because Francisco Lindor really kind of grabbed hold of that team this year. Boston, though Rafael Devers is highly paid, I would not describe him as the same kind of face of a franchise that you got from a David Ortiz and maybe even to a certain sense a Xander Bogaerts, because you never hear from Devers. He isn't the one that's standing in front of the media answering for when the team isn't playing well or when they are playing well. So I really do feel that there is a true face of the franchise for the next 15 years angle that I hope that they're including in negotiations.
And I would also add, if he went to the Blue Jays, he'd probably still be second fiddle to Vlad Guerrero Jr., who is the face of that franchise. Now, obviously, they'd have to sign Vlad to an extension, but even though Soto's a better player than, say, Judge or Vlad Jr. or Lindor, like, those are established guys there.
Yep.
In Judge's case, homegrown. Vlad's case, homegrown. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think on Devers, too, for me, I think Devers and the Red Sox were at their best when he was the second or third voice in the locker room. Now, he might have been the best player for long stretches, but when it was Mookie, Bogaerts, and Devers, and Bogaerts was that third guy,
yeah,
that's when I think they were at their best. Or even once Mookie left and it was Bogaerts and Devers. Now, Devers was the better player than Bogaerts, but Bogaerts was that leader, the multi-time champion, right? So I thought that was better for Devers, because Devers seems to me like the guy that wants to show up and play baseball and have fun and you know, just hit the ball like Ted Williams, right?
Right,
and that's
right.
Not hyperbole. Some of the numbers in his career track with Ted Williams. But point being, if Soto comes in, this is a guy that's played in two World Series. He's won one already. Last year in New York, he was on a team that obviously biggest market in baseball. He hit 288, right? He hit a bunch of, what was it, 41 homers, 31 doubles, which you know is going to be tailor-made for Fenway Park.
Oh, yeah.
Cool thing about Soto, too, his OPS on the road last year was higher than at home.
Huh.
So he's not just relying on that short porch at Yankee Stadium, right?
Right.
So it tells you, so I think that's valuable, too. So there's so many things about Soto. And then the age. He just turned 26. So you bring in a Soto, he's not only going to be the leader over Devers, the face of the franchise, he's going to be that guy for a decade,
right,
maybe more. And you're going to get his entire prime in this deal. So I see all the logic of it, and I think it would be a fantastic move. And even like last year, the Red Sox, they were sixth in the MLB in average. They were ninth in home runs. They were only 11th in walks. So like the average was good, but some of those other numbers that Soto would come in, I mean, dude walks a bunch. You mentioned on-base machine. He walks a bunch, hits a bunch of home runs. He would help those numbers. Also, the Red Sox had the most strikeouts versus left-handed pitchers last year. And I know Soto's a lefty, but he's a lefty that can hit left-handed pitching. So
Right. There's
so many things about Juan Soto that you sit there and you say, that's the guy. Right, that's the guy. That would be like bringing in Manny Ramirez in 2001, bringing in Curt Schilling, trading for Chris Sale. It would be like bringing in that guy. What I really want to know, and again, I have to see it to believe it, does the Red Sox ownership group, do the Red Sox as an organization, do they actually want to do what it takes to get him there? Because how many times in the last 4 years, 5 years, have we seen a player sign somewhere, and then we get reports of, well, the Red Sox offer was right there. Oh, they were in on him. They were interested, right? The nickname is the Interest Kings.
The Interest Kings.
So are they actually going to do it? And I will say, 12 years, $600 million, that should do it. But I think what's happened is you have a lot of people, and I'm a Red Sox fan, love the Red Sox, I have my whole life. You have a lot of Red Sox fans that because of the last 4 or 5 years that are just conditioned to be happy they met with the guy.
Yep.
And to me, you're not going to get every free agent. I get it. You can't spend as much as the Dodgers, Yankees, or Mets on a consistent basis. But they've won 4 World Series this century, Dan. They've been top 3 in payroll all 4 times. They've shown they can do it, at least in some years. So do they actually want to do it? Do they want to move beyond, hey, we met with this guy. Like, we met with Yamamoto last year. Or we talked to Imanaga. You know, we talked about Dylan Cease and Corbin, but they didn't get any of those guys. Are they actually at the point where now they're going to move on from that and get a player like that? That's why I said to you earlier, I need to see it to believe it.
And if they do, I will look back at this 5-year stretch in a much more positive light. And the one thing, if in hindsight come the beginning of 2025, they have Juan Soto and they've traded for Garrett Crochet, all of these, or just a handful of the rumors that we hear, they have finally spent the money that fans have been willing them to spend. I'll look back at this rebuilding of the farm system and then bringing in new talent as a positive thing for the franchise, because you're adding Juan Soto and whomever else you bring in this offseason to the big three, the big four, Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell and these prospects that are supposed to be home runs. What I then won't understand in hindsight is, why weren't you just honest with us? When you fired Dave Dombrowski and you brought in Chaim Bloom, it was clear that you were trying to rebuild your farm system, which
Dombrowski
is something
did a better job with the farm system than people think, by the way.
That's a fair point.
Side note.
That's a fair point.
A lot of people like Duran. They like Casas. They like Bayo. Where do you think those guys came from?
It's a fair point.
I'm just saying. But sorry, continue.
No. But that's also a fair point. But regardless of what you did, you clearly brought in Chaim Bloom because you wanted to, quote unquote, restock it with the players who are now matriculating their way up through the system. Why weren't you just honest with the fan base in 2022, I guess it would be, after that wild run they had with Schwarber leading the way with his a million grand slams? Why weren't you just honest with me in saying that, hey, this is going to be a couple of years of pain, but we are going to eventually get back to the way that we wanted to spend? I would have liked that a lot more, but I'll look back on it positively if we do get to a point where now you are spending the money.
And my philosophy has always been that the Red Sox are one of those handful of teams, 4 or 5 or so, that you can do both. You can improve your farm system while also spending a lot.
That's the Dodgers model right now.
Look at the Red Sox in 2007, 2018, guys they traded for, guys they signed as free agents, and of course, homegrown guys. But we got to get to They Said It coming up, because there's some interesting, we're going to continue this Juan Soto discussion later on in the program, but some interesting things have been said, Dan, over the last couple days in the world of sports that we want to get to. That's coming up next. We have They Said It.